technology has reached the point to which, to maintain expectations,
it must collect vast amounts of information. This means surveillance has become a necessary part of global technology. As one Creighton University professor says, the focus has become not whether the tech is being used, but who is using it.
We hear a lot in the news about the kind of mass surveillance systems in China, and it's used as this kind of warning of government surveillance gone wrong. But here in the United States, many of the same technologies for very similar purposes are being used right now, except it's used by private companies and corporate interests. And so you can see kind of the different values in society. It's not that the surveillance technology or capabilities are all that different. It's just a difference of who is using them. We have a lot of very close partnerships between our government and a lot of private corporations.
The research of Dr. Guy McHendry, Associate Professor of Communications Studies, indicates the problem of who is further compounded by the natural biases of those who formulate the technology.
We tend to treat technology as kind of fairly neutral, and we miss the fact that when we design something, when we design a surveillance system, it kind of reflects our own biases and values. Facial recognition technology and, you know, the work of making that technology effective requires these massive databases of photos.
McHendry says the algorithm may become skewed when identifying persons by race, assuming the available database of photos utilizes more from one ethnic background than another. Some consumers may have difficulty with being certain they are protected from unwanted surveillance by some antivirus software programs.
One of the things that is difficult for the average user to cope with is that our computers, our phones, all of them are vulnerable to malicious software programs that without our knowledge can install themselves and sit in our computers and collect a bunch of information and send that usually to third parties who may not have our best interests in mind. And so companies that offer antivirus solutions oftentimes, right, are selling their product to protect us from that kind of malware. Unfortunately, there have been instances where kind of the trade-off of that security is that that software can also then, because it needs a level of permissions on our machine, to also be collecting its own data and reporting it back to the company. There's also, I think, a problem with a lot of programs that look like antivirus software that seem like they'll protect you, and they're just Trojan horses, and so they're malicious on their own, and people install them thinking that they're being safe, and in fact, they might not be.
There may be steps to take to ensure no more than the minimal amount of surveillance or data collection is taking place.
Part of the issue is because it's so overwhelming, people can feel powerless. What I emphasize with my students is to really think a lot about the places where they're most vulnerable and then take some pretty specific steps to protect themselves. So some easy things that they can do in their everyday life: don't use the same password for every account and make sure it's a complicated password. And I always recommend there are lots of some free, some not password management companies out there that will help keep track of your passwords for you. And a number of them are very trustworthy. Keep your account safe. The other thing is for folks out there with a smartphone, every time you install a new app and you open it up, it asks you for all kinds of permissions. And before just, you know, our impulse, we want that immediate gratification. So we click okay to get through it. Think a little bit about what this app does and does it need that information. You know, if you're on Twitter, it doesn't need to know your location. If you are downloading a game and you just want to play a game on your phone, it's going to probably ask you to log in and give you this easy option of connecting with your Facebook account. But when you look at those permissions, you're giving them a ton of your personal information and data by connecting those two accounts. When, even if it's an extra step, just creating a login with an email address and a password or not even giving them that information at all can really keep you a lot safer from this kind of mass collection of your information.
For excerpts, go to our website, kmzu.com. Listen every weekday, 7:25 a.m. for the Daily Newsmaker installment. For KMZU, I'm Matt Griffith.